Please turn in your New King James Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we will be looking at section Het. It looks like Heth there. I don't know how many of you are War Between the States history buffs. There was a Confederate general by the name of Harry Heth. Well, this is not named for him. This is a Hebrew letter. It has the sound of like a CH, like those of you from Scottish ancestry would say with Loch Lomond, you know, that sort of thing. So it is called Het. That's verses 57 through 64. We'll read responsively as we usually do. Psalm 119, verses 57 through 64. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. In this section, and you will remember that the psalm is organized in such a way that in the Hebrew, every single verse starts with a word that starts with the letter Het. In this section, we see heart commitment that leads to life consecration. The psalmist here, and I rather suspect this is David who wrote this, the psalmist starts out that God, that Jehovah, is his portion. In his heart of hearts, Jehovah is the basis, the beginning of everything. And as Paul would later write in Romans 11, from him and to him and through him are all things. Here is a heart commitment we see in verses 57 and 58. God is his portion. There is nothing else ultimate in his life. Nothing in this life, but having God in Jesus Christ is enough for David, is enough for the believer. Having all things in this life without him is awful and is a terror. We see here his spoken commitment that comes from this heart commitment in verse 57. I've said that I would keep your words. Going into verse 58, I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. Now, see here. Here is a heart that has been changed by sovereign grace. Here is a heart that has been born again. Here is a heart that sees he does not deserve anything good from God. No, rather, he deserves God's wrath and curse. Any good that he has, temporal, that is, in this life, children, or spiritual, comes from, well, what is that word there in verse 8? Mercy. Mercy. He does not say, give me according to what I have done. No, it is be merciful to me according to your word. Now, because in God's grace, he has been enabled to take hold of prophecies of the coming of one who would take away his sin one day. And because he has been enabled by grace to see and to understand the person and work of Christ through what was going on at the tabernacle. For you will recall, if indeed David wrote this, no temple yet, the tabernacle. Because of all this, he looks to Jesus, and because of that looking to Jesus, because of that faith in him who would come, why, repentance comes about. And we see that in verse 59. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. This is what faith in Jesus Christ always does. Faith, true saving faith in Jesus, makes the new believer always turn around. And his life is increasingly characterized that way. Faith, true saving faith in Jesus Christ, always brings repentance. Because there is a turning around. Children, if you were in your car, or in your parents' car, I should say, I don't think too many of you kids own a real car, but if you were in the car with your parents, and you decided you needed to go from here to Kenton, and you started driving down State Route 638, could you say, oh, I made a mistake, I plan to go to Kenton? Would it make any sense to keep going down to the south? Of course not. Of course not. It would show that either you were very confused or you didn't really, despite all that you were saying, did not really want to go north up to Kenton. If you really did want to go to Kenton and you'd made a mistake and understood suddenly that you had, and it happens to me sometimes, I get into the habit of, not with Bell Fountain and Kenton, but I sometimes go off on a road because that's the way I always go, and the habit steers my hands, and that steers the wheel and such. But when I realize what I do, I turn around. I can't keep going in one direction in order to get to the other direction. So it is spiritually. True faith in and on Jesus Christ brings real repentance, real turning. Because we turn to the testimonies, to the Word of God, the Word written, and the Word become flesh, and we turn from our previous wicked ways. And when God works in our heart, as he did in David's, or whoever the psalmist is, it's not something that we do kind of lazily. Oh, well, we'll change when we get around to it. No, it's not that way at all. If you have business in the north and you're heading south, you have urgent business in the north, you don't wait until something can, well, get around to changing you around. No, you immediately find the first driveway you can or the first cutoff road to get to US 68 to head up to Kenton. You turn around immediately, especially if there's something very, very important. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. How much so? This life commitment, this consecration to God and Jesus Christ is shown in a couple of what surely were considered extreme examples. In persecution, in verse 61, the cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. And in physical affliction, he's maybe stricken with insomnia. I don't know if you children know what that is. It's when you can't sleep. That's a fancy word for saying, I can't sleep. Okay? Next time this happens and you wake up your parents, you can say, Dad, I have insomnia. Boy, well, he'd be impressed at 3 a.m. Okay. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. Even in the middle of affliction, even in the middle of difficulty, when he cannot rest, the psalmist says, I will rise up and I will give you thanks. I will deny the needs of my body because I am so committed to you. And so he concludes in verses 63 and 64, this one who by grace is committed to Jesus, I'm a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. Because he's in union and communion with the Savior who would come, he is therefore in union and communion with all those who are also so connected to Jesus Christ. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. It is not only to Jacob. It is not only to Israel. It is now to the ends of the earth, and you and I have experienced this as well. For Jesus no longer is one who is to come. He has come. He is no longer one who, it is promised, will take away our sin. He has done it. It is completed. It is finished, he said there at the cross. And it's testified to by his resurrection, which we celebrate today and every New Testament Sabbath. It is because of that that we see the earth is full of his mercy. Full. They're not just little driplets. There isn't just a little bit of a drizzle of it. The earth is full of his mercy. And it extends to sinners, even to such sinners as you, even to such sinners as I am. This is a God to whom we must commit if we are not already. This is a God to whom we must be consecrated if we are not already. All this is ours. All this is our possession. If we come to him who, above all others who have ever lived, had his heart consecrated to his Father. Now think of it here. David can only say these words, and we can only sing them from the heart, because they point exactly to the attitude that Jesus covered all the way through death. He yielded never. No, not even under the persecution and the binding to the cross. That's something you should think of when you see verse 61 there. And in verse 62, David rose at midnight because Jesus rose on the day of resurrection. It's in that Jesus who kept the law perfectly for his people and died in the place of his people that David can say all this and look in hope to one who had come, and that we can look back in hope to one who has come and whose work is completed and whose salvation secures us. Well, let's sing from this portion of Psalm 119 now. I used now twice. I must really mean it. We'll be using portion H of Psalm 119 in our psalm books. Psalm 119H.